I'm recording this episode right before I do my daily walk in my park during quarantine, like in the war, but we're quarantined. The whole world has been sent to our rooms, and it's really crazy. It's so crazy. And it's had a profound economic effect on the world's economy, on our individual countries' economies. And so I wanted to talk about the US in particular, the stimulus check that they are sending out to our qualified citizens who can receive it. And I just have some thoughts about this. In order to get to the show notes, go to michelleismoneyhungry.com/what-to-do-with-your-stimulus-check. Again, that is michelleismoneyhungry.com/what-to-do-with-your-stimulus-check. After much wrangling back and forth and partisan politics, a $2 trillion stimulus package was passed the third week of March 2020. As with everything dealing with the coronavirus, it just feels like so many things are happening so fast and that we're just, you know, trying to hold on to the seat of our pants. This podcast episode will not talk about the politics of this bill. Now is not the time for that. Instead, the focus will be on the very practical aspects of managing what I consider to be a lifeline, not a windfall. Sooner or later, we will pay for that check. I'm just not sure how. This situation has me remembering what it felt like when my mom lost her job in the airline industry during a recession while I was working part-time at Starbucks and attending graduate school. I was in debt, underemployed, and trying to get make it through to the other side unscathed. I still have emotional scars from that experience, and it would be a lie to say that I didn't. But there are some things to consider as you make decisions connected to your stimulus money. Again, it's a lifeline, not a windfall for many people who've lost income for weeks. Heads up, I will share some logistics that you may need to walk through before even beginning to cover what to do with your stimulus check. And I share the story about helping my mom out. Again, I was living in a studio, and then one day my mom was like, Michelle, I'm just unable to find a job. I don't know what to do. So we ended up living together in my studio in Boulder, Colorado. I'll never forget this. And I went from auditioning for music videos to supporting two people on student loans and Starbucks money. And it was very, very scary. And I think that there may be listeners or friends of listeners of this show who are having an experience that they can't even fathom is happening to them. Like, they can't even believe it. And before we get into the show, I want to tell you that you have every right to be angry, to be a little bit bitter, to ask why me. But then there's a point where you have to take action, because inaction is very problematic during a time like this. Like, this is unfortunately the time that you have to take a lot of sustained, focused action so that you can survive and get to the other side, survive financially. So that is something to think about. If you're feeling overwhelmed by the coronavirus and talk of a recession, do make sure to get the coronavirus and recession planning kit from Freaked Out to Back in Control. It is available for free. If you're needing some help figuring out what to consider, what to prepare for, how to stockpile without losing your mind, definitely grab that resource. It's in the show notes. Michelle is Money Hungry is an empathetic space in the personal finance verse. I'm here to help you, not shame you. My primary focus with this show is not only personal finance, but it's to make more money, pay down debt, and online entrepreneurship. That's really where I focus the content of this show. But it would be a mistake not to discuss things related to financial aspects of dealing with a coronavirus quarantine situation. For simplicity's sake, I'm going to reference the $1,200 as the kind of the money point only in this episode. So only the $1,200. If you're getting larger checks than that because you have dependents, the comments that I'm going to share still apply. Disclaimer, I'm not a personal finance professional. You need to do your own due diligence in order to manage your own financial situation. In the next month or so, people who qualify for stimulus checks will begin receiving them either by direct deposit or in the mail. Now, like literally today, Monday, when you listen to this, if it's Monday, March 30th, you need to check the information that IRS has for you. Like, look at your previous year's tax statements to make sure that they've got the correct information from you. I changed my bank. So I used to use one bank for everything, and now the bank changed. So these are things that you need to look at quickly. Go to irs.gov to keep track of all the things as they are coming and going and changing, what have you. Create a folder with all the details that you need to keep track of. So you need to keep track of when bills are due, when we are allowed to file our 2019 taxes, when we're supposed to file our state taxes, because some states haven't changed when their taxes are due. Medicines, programs that your creditors are running specific to the situation. So creditors might be running programs to help their the people that owe them money, right? And so you may qualify for that program. So literally, if you have any debts, anything that you're dealing with, you need to be calling people like all day long, like a job, especially if you're at home, like you have nothing else to do other than like take care of kids if you have kids or your fur babies, whatever. Make the time to start calling them to see what programs do you qualify for and what can you do in order to kind of eliminate some of the financial pressure that's coming at you. The Coronavirus Student Loan Relief Program in particular is interesting because that's specific to federal loans, not private loans. So everyone needs to triple check if their loan is qualifying for that relief. It may not. And I don't want you like not paying on it and then one day being like, oh wait, I didn't qualify for this. So you need to go into your portal, you need to call them, you need to communicate with these people. Basically, you need a file and you need to triple check everything and take notes. And the very important part of those notes is when you called, what they said, what the rules are, when the end dates are for this relief. So for the student loan relief, federal loans, that's going to be September sometime. So in October, that means things are back in business. What if you're not working then? So these are things that you really need to spend some time looking at, getting the details and writing down notes. You have to take the notes because this is so complicated. And I think each person's finances are a little complicated. So you can't just try to remember it. You could create a Google Doc actually, where you just detail all the information. Maybe you don't have your actual account information in there. Like you just have the details and then the account information in actual paper copies. So just be careful with that. Again, double check everything. Why do I say in the next month or so you'll be receiving your money? The reason why I'm saying that is I don't want you to let your foot off the gas pedal. Like I don't want you to stop working in focus mode because you think the check's going to come the second week of April. Don't do that. Like just keep on focusing and working hard because now is not the time to lose focus doing whatever it is that you're doing to stabilize your finances. Here's the other thing that you also have to consider, which is you need to actively manage your mindset and stay positive. Also, you need to take small, meaningful actions, even when you're feeling scared, because this is a scary situation. Anyone who pretends that it's not is like, I don't even know. They're like the Borg. Sit down and go through your finances and your expenses. See where you stand and then figure out what your most urgent expenses are. Quite honestly, they would always be in a situation like this: food, shelter, and transportation. That's it. And then you move on from there. Go through each line item in your budget and figure out if you're overpaying for certain things, which most of us probably are because we had, you know, income flowing all the time. Look at your accommodation. Maybe now is the time that you rent out that extra room in the house. With an asterisk on that, make sure that the person you rent to has money, is working in a field where they're going to be able to get paid. So you have to be careful with that, but maybe this is something you consider. It could be a relative, whatever, but think very hard about how that looks and how they make money, because that could affect their ability to pay you. And then you have this person that you can't get out of your house. So you got to think about all that. Clothing. Quite honestly, who is going to see you except for on Zoom meetings? So you don't like the clothing allowances that we had from before. We are not spending money on clothes because no one sees us. So if you're one of those people who loves like new clothes and you always spend on that, that is an easy area to just cut right now, because again, no one is going to see us. And in fact, they're going to forget your clothes anyway, because we're going to pull out all of our summer things and everyone's going to be like, oh, those are cute. That's new. And you're going to be like, yes, they are new. So that's an easy area to save money. Phone. I used to pay $120 a month, like 4 or 5 years ago, on my cell phone. I really hope you're not paying that much for a single line. Now I pay $35 a month via Mint Mobile, which I love. A bonus with Mint Mobile, by the way, is that Ryan Gosling sometimes leaves messages for customers because he now owns it. So this weekend, I literally got a message from Ryan Gosling. You didn't. I will say, though, that Republic Wireless and Cricket are great, too. I've actually used those services. Not a fan of Google Fi anymore, so I can't recommend that one. Transportation. Is it possible to sell your car and purchase a cheaper one? Maybe now is that time to kind of consider that. If we're not going anywhere, we can't go to the, like, I can't even go to the mountains. Like, they have told Denverites that they're like, if you don't live in a mountain town, we don't want you up there. So I, like, if I owned a car right now, who's driving? Really, who's driving? So this could be the time where you just unload a car because you're not even using it. Subscription. So I'll be honest, there is no way in hell I'm getting rid of Netflix, CBS, or Hulu. There's no way. Like, I have those three services. I love them. I stream them daily throughout the day, depending on what's going on. That's a priority because I have to entertain myself in my house. However, there might be other subscriptions that I can get rid of because I'm not using them. One actually is my co-working subscription. So what I am going to do is contact them and be like, look, is there a way to just pause this? Because I can't even go to a co-working space. And so that is a call that I have to make on Monday just to see what's possible with that. Groceries. So this one's kind of tricky because we're still dealing with people panic buying, and that is affecting what's available in the stores. And part of why that is happening, it's not just the panic buying, it's because of efficiency. So stores started stocking up their shelves based on demand, and they never, as would not be a surprise, they never expected a pandemic to kind of upend the demand that they were always planning for. So say, for example, there were 7 jars of pasta sauce, like a certain kind of pasta sauce, and the computer system was like, oh, like they're almost gone. Like, that, let's update the order so that there's always 7. Well, they weren't expecting, like, you know, your meemaw to buy all 7 of them in one go. And so that is part of the reason why the stores are having a hard time stocking up stuff, is people are panic buying. We have plenty of stuff in the US. We have tons of food, but I think it's going to still take a while for people to manage that impulse, partly because the grocery store is the only place we can go and shop. Like, a lot of people have the habit of going into stores and shopping, and now the grocery store is the only place where they can do that. So I think that's part of the reason why some of the panic buying is happening. It's not just because people are panicking, it's because it's the only place people can physically go. So in order to manage that, like, maybe you go and you have your list, create a list, you have meal ideas that you've created, you get as much as you can based on what's in the grocery store, you do a big shop, and you try to extend those shops, you know, extend the time in between shops so that you save money. I actually do this normally, like in my normal life, I try to go once a week. It saves me a lot of money. It saves me impulse shopping costs, that kind of thing. The other thing is you can also shop online. Now, shopping online is a little more expensive. However, if you're concerned about being exposed to people who may be asymptomatic for coronavirus, online shopping may be a lot cheaper than having a hospital bill. So there's something to think about with that. And again, you would do a big shop and just make your life easy. By the way, what I've noticed is my Sprouts, like my kind of hippie grocery stores, have much better options and they're stocked a lot more than, say, the Safeway or Whole Foods in my neighborhood, because I live by a number of grocery stores. So like I can literally walk to about 5 grocery stores. And so I've been doing that, kind of trying to get a feel for what is going well, what isn't. And definitely Sprouts continues to be the one with the most stuff in stock consistently. There's certain things that are gone. Proteins are always the one that are gone. But I went to Sprouts yesterday and there were still tons of proteins, like, you know, chicken, that kind of thing. So that's something to consider. Also, I'm still using my Ibotta app to save on groceries. So if I can find things that are deals on my app, I still do that. So that's just something to think about. Entertainment. This one is so easy because we're trapped in our houses and can't go anywhere. So there's a ton of free things online that you can do. In fact, Cards Against Humanity has a free thing like you can play online. So definitely check that out. Maybe you're adding into your budget. So I'm going to be adding into my budget online dating. Why not? Like you're trapped, like there's nothing else to do. So I'm adding that into my budget. Fitness. Thank God for all of the free online classes and fitness apps that are happening right now. Classes are being streamed on Instagram, Facebook Live, that kind of thing. And it's great business. I think in the long run, it's going to do really well for businesses that showed up daily, even if they weren't getting paid. I think the long run, people will want to pay those businesses. So that's something to consider. Self-care, nails, eyelashes, hair. Sadly, we cannot go to our favorite salons. So sad. So it's just time to DIY that. And I look forward to seeing all the bowl cuts out there in the world. Call all of your creditors and see what you can negotiate so that you're lowering your monthly overhead. Part of what I'm trying to get, like the point I'm trying to make, is that we probably have fat in our budgets, most of us, if we do eliminate the fat. Like right now is no time for the fat in your budget. If you're applying for unemployment, spend time really understanding the rules specific to this situation and what they want you to do, what they expect, what tasks you're going to have to do, because in order to receive unemployment, the regulations, the stipulations, the expectations of people have changed. So you need to be aware of what those are so that you're not going into it blind. All right, now that we've done all that, now is time to actually talk about that stimulus check. It's $1,200. And if you have kids, you can add an additional $500 per child. That money is to help you get through the eye of the storm. The question we have to ask is, how long is the storm? What we're currently experiencing is disruption to the economy and workforce that is accelerating trends that we were already seeing, such as moving towards automation for certain tasks. I'm going to keep it 100. At the end of this, things are going to be very different. How restaurants are run is going to be different. The size of restaurants, I bet, will change because they will probably prioritize like pickup and takeout. And maybe people won't want to go to restaurants as often as before. You don't know. So these are things to think about, especially if you work in tourism, if you work in hospitality, food services, events. Like these are things that if you're in those fields, in those areas of business, you need to think about that. If you're unsure about the stability of your job, you need to save that money. Your housing always comes first. You have to live somewhere. This is where Dave Ramsey and I are in 100% agreement. Focus on growing your savings as aggressively as possible if you don't have the savings you would like or you think you should have. If your federal student loans are frozen until September, save that cash. Again, you need to triple check that your student loans are actually frozen, because some of you guys might think you have federal loans, but they aren't. So just, you know, that's something to think about. Do you see a theme emerging in my comments? Save that cash, lower your overhead, stay focused. It's okay to be really pissed off about this. This is not fair. This sucks, but it's life. I mean, it sucks. It really sucks. But we will make it to the other side. Wash your hands and take care.